This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We'll have a look at a new executive position focused on diversity at the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and the campaign to spay or neuter community cats. That's coming up. But first, students are learning at home and will return to their classrooms in Middletown when it's safe. That's according to Middletown City School Superintendent Marlon Stiles Jr., who joins us now on the phone. Superintendent, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here today.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And my goodness, this is a continuation of sort of the difficulties that school districts across the country and, of course, here in our region as well, were facing as the school year was disrupted and kids moved to virtual learning. Now we're seeing school districts sort of have a piecemeal approach. Some are returning to in-person learning. Middletown City Schools is starting the school year virtually. Can you talk about the factors that led to your decision on this?
Safety. I mean, to put it plain and simple, our focus is on making sure we can keep our students, staff, and community safe. As we saw a huge spike in our community spread surface in early July, it gave us huge concern about safety and our confidence in being able to keep everyone safe. So our Board of Education decided in mid-July to move to a remote start. We had all the confidence in our staff, but we know that with the remote start, it'll give us a chance to mitigate the community spread and hopefully have a shot at getting back face-to-face sometime this school year.
When you talk about getting back face-to-face sometime this school year, what are the factors that you'll be evaluating to determine a timeline for that?
We don't have a timeline, and we've shared that with our community. Our focus right now is trying to go backwards. Right now, our cases and hospitalizations are increasing here in the city of Middletown. So until we can see any type of decline, it's hard to really entertain a timeline on when it's safe to return. But we're hoping at some point we see a multi-week decline in positive cases. We're hoping that Butler County, which right now is the seventh highest positive case county in the entire state of Ohio, out of 88 counties, we're number seven. We're hoping Butler County goes down to level one at some point. And that way we can look at our zip code and really analyze some of the data about the positive cases that we're seeing. But until things turn around, we really don't have an opportunity to entertain coming back.
We're very early into this new school year, and I'll note that a school district not far from you and certainly in our listening area, Lebanon, according to the Journal News just today, 21 Lebanon students are quarantined after just one positive COVID-19 test among the student population there. So it shows the impact that one child, one student who ends up with a positive coronavirus test can impact so many other students and the workflow for those kids. And I don't expect you to react to what another district is doing as far as their plans go. But again, this is a piecemeal approach that schools are taking. Some have decided to return. You have not. Has the lack of any formula, any type of standard that everyone's adopting, has that been challenging for you?
I say absolutely. And I'll speak for myself. It's been frustrating getting very limited and cloudy guidance from our governor and our state officials. And that makes it very difficult as someone whose mindset is around K-12 education to really analyze what medical experts are saying and how to interpret that. Our governor was brave enough to cancel sports, cancel school in the spring, but he hasn't been brave enough to make those decisions here in the fall and leaving it up to school districts. So superintendents across Southwest Ohio specifically, we have really come together to collaborate to analyze some of the information we have. Our local health commissioners have been absolute angels in helping us navigate what's the safest thing to do. But superintendents collectively, we have focused on our communities and doing what's best for our communities and trying to make rational decisions that will focus on keeping everyone safe. But our health commissioners have been the blessing. I'll speak for myself. I do have some disappointment with our governor and the lack of guidance that we're getting about returning to school and also extracurriculars.
And we're talking with Middletown City School District Superintendent Marlon Stiles Jr. The Middletown City Schools have begun the new school year virtually, while other neighboring districts have decided to return to in-person learning in some sort of format. And Superintendent, I want to read a little bit of some of the presentation that you gave back in May to a congressional committee. And it said, quote, "Many parents and grandparents are expressing their number one priority is survival. In my district, remote learning is not the priority, as many families are trying to figure out how to keep food on the table, pay bills, stay healthy, maintain, or find employment, all while taking on the stress of assuming the primary role as educator for their children. You went on to say, quote, imagine being a grandparent responsible for raising multiple kids right now. You don't have laptops in the home and you have no clue how to teach proportions, order of operations, or help the 12th grade student in your home meet all the requirements for graduation. Would remote learning be at the top of the priority list? How can we help teach and support the parents and guardians so they are better prepared to teach our students while at home? Superintendent, this is an example that not all school districts are created equally in terms of the communities that they serve. And there's certainly a disparity among school districts in our region. And can you talk a little bit about the challenges that you face specific to the type of community that you aim to lift up?
We have shifted our thinking to go away from thinking of this as a challenge and embrace the idea this is an opportunity to better serve our students. So we really reshifted our priorities and went back to our core values, which are equity for all. I'm proud to say that this week, as a matter of fact, we are pushing out school-issued devices to every single student, grades 1 through 12. They will have their own school-issued device that is reliable and updated with the most relevant educational technology needed to engage in a remote setting. In addition to that, also knowing that we want to make sure 100% of our students are connected, meaning that we're removing that homework gap that they face. We partner with T-Mobile for a 2-year partnership. We have an unlimited data mobile hotspot that we're issuing to students who live in homes that currently do not have internet access. So really, we are celebrating the opportunity to make sure our students don't face any educational barriers around the digital divide that's present in our country. We've got confidence that all of our students have reliable devices, and they also have high-speed, reliable internet access in their homes. It's a celebration of the opportunity to really serve them in a much greater capacity.
How were you able to work out that deal with T-Mobile? I've heard of other districts pursuing similar opportunities.
We really started with some of our local partners. SWOCA really surfaced at the beginning of the process and some discussions and a dream to connect 100% of our students. Some of the local providers really came to the table and really helped process through the dream of getting 100% of our students connected. T-Mobile was able to meet some of the compliance measures that we as school organizations face as it relates to E-rate. And then also some of our funding mechanisms came into play, allowed it to financially make the dream possible. But really, we continue superintendents across the country. I know a lot of superintendents are. We continue to challenge our federal governments, our state governments to really rise the occasion to make internet a priority to connect every student in this country. They shouldn't have to be logged out anymore. Students should have the opportunity to continue that academic learning outside the walls of schools.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, joined now by Middletown City School District Superintendent Marlon Stiles Jr. He joins us via Skype. So we're a couple of days in. I guess this is the first week. You started on Monday, and you've made these efforts to better connect all of the student population digitally, enhancing the internet speed and quality that they have access to. It's early, but how is it going so far?
It's going fantastic. The highlight is as families are arriving to our campuses to pick up their resources, laptops, hotspots, school supplies are providing our families free to make sure they have the materials they need to learn. But it's been a joy being able to see everyone, first of all, social distancing, wearing face masks, but seeing students get a chance to meet their teachers and parents getting a chance to meet their teachers as they pick up their resources. Our staff's done an unbelievable job creating those relationships right off the bat, but also taking advantage of the opportunity to help parents understand how to log into the computers, which icons to click on to get into the school accounts to access the activities that teachers are posting. So it's been great from a relationship standpoint, but also the opportunity to support parents in understanding where to go, what to click on in order to access activities. We're off to a great start. Our staff gets all the credit. They're doing a phenomenal job, and I couldn't be any prouder of them.
Back in May, during that congressional appearance that you made that I referenced earlier, again, you talked about how some heads of household don't know how to teach proportions, order of operations, those types of subjects, or any other type of subject in a lot of cases. What has been done to address that challenge or what you may view now as an opportunity?
Yeah, this is where I'm proud of the education community across not just Southwest Ohio, but across the country, Middletown included. We are working on parent tutorial videos to post to our websites. We have pushed out a parent manual for remote learning, as well as a student manual for remote learning. We've tried to provide that material in Spanish as well, so that everyone is able to have access to the information. We also are talking about opportunities to engage parents virtually, so that our staff can interact with them and demonstrate how to access information. But really working with families, and I know a lot of people are, to just get those tutorials out, more importantly, to take some of the lift off of them. We also are trying to put some supports in place as a district to make sure families have access to remote learning hubs. We're still building that concept. And then also trying to create opportunities so that parents have questions around technology. They can call a hotline and there'll be a human on the other line that allow them to get their tech concerns answered, so we can troubleshoot over the phone to keep that device working so the student can keep learning.
You made this decision, obviously in cooperation with the Board of Education there in Middletown, about starting virtually this school year. What was the response from parents? Because we have seen a lot of pushback in districts around the region that have made similar decisions from parents who really believe that their kids should be back in the classroom.
We've had some emotional responses, as to be expected. As a parent myself, I understand where our parents are coming from. We tried our best to be transparent throughout the summer with our community. We ran a 6-part town hall virtual series where we kept our community updated on some of our decision-making and the information we were looking at. We also announced on July 20th, we wanted to give our families 4 weeks of advance notice to begin preparing for the remote start to the school year. We did not want to wait till the week before or 2 weeks before the school year started, because that stresses anyone out in the household. So we wanted to respect our family from a timeline standpoint, and that 4 weeks of preparation in the household was important. But it also gave us 4 weeks to answer questions, to get information in their hands, to allow them to begin organizing their house, their homes, and organizing their students as far as a mental state to prepare for remote learning. But it allowed us time to answer questions, get information in their hand, and also respond to some of the concerns that they had. Initially, the response was emotional, and I expected that, and I was emotional with myself and trying to make the call. But really, we've tried to partner with our community to get them what they need so their students can be successful with the remote start.
And we're talking with Middletown City School District Superintendent Marlon Stiles. And Superintendent, as you noted, the governor did make a very clear decision back in the late winter, early spring, as it related to COVID-19 and athletics. That was all shut down. Schools were shut down. And now these decisions here in the fall, though we have more coronavirus cases each day than we did then, are left to make decisions on their own. And you still have a decision to make at some point, it sounds like, as it relates to athletics. Have you made that decision? Are you close to making that decision?
Well, as you mentioned, yes, the governor, he is putting us in a bad spot. We are at our peak in Ohio. I can tell you we are at our peak here in the city of Middletown. Some of the Southwest Ohio counties are in the top 15 worst counties as it relates to positive cases and deaths in the state of Ohio. But for some reason, the governor will not make decisions to keep us all safe. So, yes, we do have a tough decision to make as it relates to extracurricular activities here in Middletown City Schools. Give our board credit. We have suspended at this particular time. And speaking with our health commissioner, we have some concerns about our ability to keep our student athletes and our students safe. So right now we're suspended. I know that some other school districts have had some cases of outbreaks in their programs. We have not. And I think credit to our community for that and our coaching staff. But I don't have a timeline to make that decision. As I said before, right now, our positive case rate is at its peak. So knowing that we're at a peak right now, we just know we have serious concerns about safety. We cannot make that call right now. My hope is that we can follow the social distancing, mask protocols are in place around safety, and turn this thing around so we can give our students a chance to get back to face-to-face instruction, most importantly. And if that happens, we know that all the exciting things that our school district offers as far as extracurriculars, our students will be able to enjoy. But as things sit right now, being in the peak, I do not have a timeline to be able to answer the question about a decision around fall sports. I just know that at this time we are suspended.
And just hypothetically, even if you were to reach a point where you thought, Sure, we can move forward with an athletic schedule. I mean, it's difficult enough in usual times to put together a schedule for schools to compete in interscholastic athletics. And I'm wondering, my goodness, how challenging would it be when only a certain number of programs are involved, and maybe that could change from week to week? I guess these conversations have been taking place.
Yeah, lots of conversations. And again, credit to educators in the region, superintendents, athletic directors. I'll speak to the GMC. We've been in constant conversation with each other, collaborating, trying to make some decisions that we believe are best for the league, but all trying to stay on the same page with the understanding that we serve individual communities. So we're trying to make sure students have opportunities to play no matter what school district you're in, and make sure those competitions are available when they pop up on the schedule. But those can be compromised depending on what's happening in the community around the coronavirus spread. So whether we're suspended or if we have an active season, games are always in jeopardy. And you heard this yesterday in the press conference. There's a high risk and there's concern that some of the competitions won't happen, depending on if there is any type of outbreak in a team or a program or school or community. It does cause concern. But credit to the superintendents and, more importantly, the athletic directors for just trying to collaborate as best they can to make sure students have opportunities.
Superintendent, I know that you, your team, and similar teams across the region are working very hard this school year to navigate this difficult situation. And I know you've cast an optimistic tone on how things are going and how you've set everything up, but you've been an educator for a long time. What are your concerns, if any, about what is being lost right now as students learn through this experience?
Again, as I said before, we've really challenged ourselves to get in an opportunity-based mindset. We've got all the confidence in our staff right now and our talent and abilities as instructional designers to give our kids a quality experience during any type of virtual or remote setting. We have embraced the idea of integrating technology in our district over the past 3 years. Our staff, again, credit to them for making those investments to upskill their abilities to integrate technology in the classroom. We believe we're in a great spot, knowing that we've had 3 years of prep for this particular moment as far as integrating technology. But we believe we're in a spot where anything we were able to do in the classroom, we feel very confident in our staff. And I know they feel this way to offer those same experiences to students in a remote setting through any type of Google Classroom environment or any type of Schoology environment, for example. But I know there is concern in the community. I know there's concern across this country that students are losing knowledge and skills being away from school. I encourage us to really think as a profession, how can we do what we did in the classroom in any type of hybrid, virtual, remote, online setting differently? It's an opportunity to reimagine how we educate kids. This virtual experience should not go away when COVID goes away. Students, some thrive in a virtual setting. They accelerate academically. So I know some students thrive in different settings. So my hope is that as a profession, this virtual learning option sticks around no matter what district we're in. It gives kids the opportunity to choose to be educated in that environment because they thrive. But it's my hope that, you know, we as a profession do a better job of embracing technology and using it the right way to extend the learning outside of the classroom, even if that is a virtual remote setting. But my hope is that students don't lose anything. Some may think that's crazy thinking. I think it more of as a dream. But I think we're in a position now with the talent of our district and their comfort level with technology that we can continue to offer those high quality, engaging experiences for kids, even though we are in a remote setting.
Middletown Superintendent Marlon Stiles, thank you so much for the time you gave us. Good luck with the school year.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.